Them Podcast with Landon McCool.
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the How About Them Podcast. I am your host, Landon McCool. And today we are concluding our floor ceiling series where we are taking a look at the roster and trying to appropriately calibrate expectations for each player on the team. Well, not each player, but most of the major players and major backups, the guys who I think will probably be on the 53. We got a big one today because we're doing wide receivers and defensive backs, and there's a lot of names in there. So let's get right to it. Okay, so as a reminder, this exercise is really, you know, more about trying to get an opportunity to speak about some of these backups and down roster guys who I think, you know, have a chance to make the team, but we don't talk about a lot. And so I will talk about the starters and their floors and ceilings, but, you know, I know you guys mostly probably have your own expectations there. I will just kind of throw mine in there for these guys, and then we'll kind of quickly move on because I do want to talk more about these down roster guys because we don't get a chance to talk about them. And I think what happens is that we know what to expect from these guys up front. If we don't know what to expect from these down roster guys, that's where we can get a little bit like, well, what the heck? Why isn't so-and-so playing like this guy or playing like this? So let's move on to the wide receivers. That's where we're going to start here. So obviously Dez Bryant, maybe you've heard of this guy. He's pretty good. He plays football, number 88 for the Cowboys. Catches the ball. Touchdowns all the time. It's amazing. Anyways, his ceiling is, I think he could have an all-pro kind of year. I mean, he has the talent, obviously. I mean, he catches touchdowns at as high a rate as anyone in the NFL. Where we don't see as much with him is yards. And I don't know that he's necessarily going to get an opportunity to get a whole bunch of yards just because he's on the same team as Ezekiel Elliott. So, and there's a lot of other targets. There's a lot of, talent in the wide receiver core that, to go around. So I think that, you know, he is still who the passing game goes through without a doubt. Like, and he is the focus of the passing game. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he is, and he is one of the best, wide receivers in the NFL. I think that's pretty clear, but that doesn't necessarily mean that his numbers are always going to be enormous because the ball will go around to the other players on the team. So bottom line, floor is injury or, you know, a mediocre year where he doesn't score a bunch of touchdowns because the ball is going around too much and he's mostly a decoy. Ceiling is, you know, maybe he does catch the ball a ton, whether there's some other issue with the run game or something, but, you know, 1,000-plus yards receiving plus 10 touchdowns is not, you know, by any stretch of the imagination for Dez Bryant. Terrence Williams, I think you've seen a lot of where T. Will can win and what he can do. I think his floor is that he gets supplanted somehow by Bryce Butler. Bryce Butler has a great offseason and figures out a way to take his spot. I think his ceiling is that he is one of the best complementary receivers in football. I mean, I think if he can continue to be clutch, if he can continue to make big catches and then be a great blocker, he really is as good as you can ask for a Z receiver in this offense. He doesn't command a bunch of targets, but usually is clutch when they need him, usually is open when they need him, and then, you know, helps in the run game a ton. So Cole Beasley, floor is obviously – if he doesn't get a ton of targets, you know, maybe he gets injured, maybe he gets slowed up, maybe some of his targets end up going to Switzer. We'll talk about him a little bit. I think those are all very real possibilities that could, you know, put him closer to the floor. His ceiling, I think, is kind of, I don't want to say what he did last season because he kind of slowed down as the season went on, but I think his ceiling is close to what you saw in the beginning of the season, like the rate that he was getting targeted and catches. I think that's probably close to where he tops out. I mean, if he gets beyond that, it's probably not a great sign for the Cowboys, but I think that that is a good model for him to shoot for, is that kind of same level of production that he had in the first few weeks of the season last year. Bryce Butler. I'm a Butler believer. He's one of those guys who I know probably is going to burn me in the end, but you know, you watch him last year and he's so close on like four or five different really big plays. And it's just that you feel like he needs to finish. And I, you know, it sounds like he's been working really hard. It's really, you know, he gets all the whispers, you know, all the kind of the walls whispering. They talk about how he has looked really good in OTAs and minicamp. I think the fact that he's coming in with his, you know, fully understanding the system, I think it really is going to provide an opportunity for him to do some things this year. His floor is probably, I can't imagine them cutting him. I mean, I guess they could cut him if Noah Brown just lights the world on fire and then Andy Jones is good too and Butler just doesn't look good. But I tend to think that his floor is probably that he's the last wide receiver on this team on as far as the bench goes. And then his ceiling is, you know, he could take that number two spot. I mean, if he really comes on and he really starts to show consistency, I don't know if he could do it in training camp. But he could start the process of taking that number two spot from Terrence and maybe, you know, in the middle of the season, finish the job off. I tend to think that he's just going to be a really good rotational third receiver, third outside receiver. And again, I think there's intense, incredible value in having an athletic guy who could play that X spot. I don't think Terrence Williams can do that. I think Bryce Butler can do that. He can play that X position if something happens to Dez. So I like Bryce Butler. I'm hoping that things really do end up nicely for him here. Lucky Whitehead. You know, I think we all kind of have had, and maybe we still do, I don't really know how I feel about it completely yet, but we definitely wrote Lucky off once Ryan Switzer was drafted. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that you're like, you know, Lucky struggled at many different points in the season and just wasn't producing at a role that was basically designed for him. And so when the Cowboys drafted Ryan Switzer, I think everyone was quick to write Lucky Whitehead off the team. Lucky, you know, has spent a whole offseason in there really putting in a lot of work. And, you know, you can tell because I follow him on Snapchat, and every time I see him, he's on his way to or from the facility. So, I tend to still think that Lucky's probably not long for this team, but I wouldn't completely rule him out just yet because he really has worked hard at it. And maybe he's made strides as a receiver, and maybe he, you know, makes this job of cutting him really hard. Floor to me is he cut. Ceiling is, I mean, I don't know. Could he start taking snaps away from some of these outside receivers if he's really developed as a true receiver? Could he hold off Ryan Switzer as the kick returner, punt returner, if he really has made strides? I don't know. We'll see. Switzer. Floor is, I mean, clearly just he doesn't play a lot. I mean, they're not going to cut him. Ceiling to me is he takes Cole Beasley's spot and has a Cole Beasley plus type numbers. I think Edelman is a closer guy to look towards than Beasley at times because I think Switzer can do more. So maybe, I don't know that he's Edelman. I'm not saying his ceiling is Edelman this year, but I think that his production could be Cole Beasley plus if everything goes right. Andy Jones. Andy Jones was on the team last year and he flashed, you know, at different times throughout camp. There was definitely times when, you know, we were thinking that Andy Jones was going to be able to to make the team just because of his size and his skill set. He was a young guy. And he's only, I think he's only 22 or 23 still. You know, he's coming from a small school, Jacksonville University. And so, you know, there was definitely going to be a pretty serious learning curve for him and what, and what, you know, what it means to be an NFL wide receiver. I think that, you know, he definitely, like I said, he definitely showed things at times, but he, you know, didn't do enough to actually make the team. And so he ends up getting cut and kind of brought back and cut brought back. I mean, but he was ended up being in the offseason program all offseason. So they've talked him up. A lot of people are excited about Andy Jones, and I think Andy Jones making the team for the sake of Bryce Butler is a common theme I hear a lot, even though I think Bryce Butler is a much more physically talented specimen. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what we get out of Andy Jones. Like I said, if he can play with some consistency, this is a guy who could definitely, I mean, he's definitely in the hunt. Let's put it that way. Despite the fact that they, you know, they've got other guys on this team that are pushing for spots, including two rookies. I think he's in the hunt. Uzama Nwachukwuma. This is basically easy in Nwachukwuma, if you remember from if any of you guys watched Hard Knocks for the Houston Texans. This is that guy, they featured him prominently, and he was a favorite on the show. He's been on the team for a little bit for the offseason. Basically, I think they signed him to a futures contract, and so he's going to make his own push. He's going to see what if he can be the guy that takes that that spot instead of maybe an Andy Jones or a Lucky Whitehead. But I tend to think that, you know, he's probably more of just a body here. Just because there's numbers here, and again, kind of continuing that, his floor is not making the team, you know, and the ceiling is, you know, he's that last receiver. And then finally, the last guy I want to mention is Noah Brown. You know, there is another receiver, Brian Brown, but I just don't know anything about him other than, you know, stuff that could be easily Googled. I will just tell you, just to get, for the sake of kind of giving you some information on him, that you know, he went to Richmond. He's a bigger wide receiver, like 6'2", 200 plus. I think that they, you know, from what I understand, some of the things he did in the offseason, he showed them a lot of stuff. He's kind of has that size that they're looking for. So, but I just, you know, I think that his 15 minutes kind of got cut in half when Noah Brown got drafted. So floor is you know, cut clearly. And then ceiling is, yeah, again, if he really plays well, really shows out, there could be one of these guys from this group, Andy Jones, easy, Brian Brown, Lucky Whitehead, who makes a push for that final wide receiver spot. And then Noah Brown, the 7th round pick from Ohio State. He has a physical skill set that's close to Dez Bryant. He's not Dez Bryant, let me be clear there, but his game is similar to Dez's. I think he could be useful. I think that they'll end up keeping him on the team because I think that he will, you know, I think he can be used as a blocker in certain situations. They could bring him in kind of like they brought in Dwayne Harris at times to do some blocking stuff as a wide receiver. They haven't really had a guy like that. Lucky Whitehead's done a little bit of it, but he's really, really undersized to be doing that. So maybe Noah Brown could be kind of that guy as he learns to develop and learn the position. His floor is he gets cut. I mean, he's a 7th rounder. He's not guaranteed anything. He's guaranteed some money, but he's not guaranteed to make the team. And then the floor, the ceiling for him is, you know, I think maybe what we talked about with those, you know, being that last wide receiver plus. I mean, I think he has. I mean, if he really, really hits all cylinders, you know, he could make you think about Bryce Butler versus Noah Brown. I think. I mean, if the light really just goes on. My thought process, though, is that this guy needs at least a year. I think we come back next year and Noah Brown is going to be a star in training camp. And that's it for the wide receivers. So let's go back to the seemingly infinite list of defensive backs. And we'll get through these. We'll get through the corners quick. I mean, through the starters quick. Anthony Brown. Anthony Brown's a guy I have high expectations for. I think his floor is kind of where he was last year. Maybe he takes a step back, but I don't think so. I think his ceiling is that he takes the starting role on this team on the outside and could be a good little player. If you look at some of the stats of how he played down the stretch last year, he played extremely well. He really did improve quite a bit down that last little stretch. So, you know, he has a skill set and a physical nature that I really think he could be a quality starter in this league, and I think that he can show that this year. So, Byron Jones, floor is, you know, he takes a step back, maybe something similar to what his rookie year looked like, but his ceiling, you know, this is his third year. This is, you know, really when safety start to take off. We've heard good whispers out of camp about him. I think that, you know, he has taken a lot of heat. And a lot of it is because he doesn't have, you know, the kind of numbers that you hope for with first round safeties. I think that that is something that people really are getting too caught up in. You know, I think what he allows them to do schematically is really, really impressive. And what it does is it allows them to kind of move him into different spots, and he can do a couple different things, but he can do it without them being able to disguise what he's doing. Basically, they're able to put him down to the box, not show if he's covering or if he's dropping in the zone. Byron Jones is a really good safety, and I think next year he's going to start adding the numbers to the already impressive film resume he has. Jeff Heath is listed as a strong safety starter, so we're gonna go with that. Floor is he is only the best special teams player on this team, and the ceiling is that he changes his name to the goat emoji and becomes the greatest single football player and human on earth. No, I think, you know, his ceiling is close to where Barry Church is. I think he can do Barry Church's role, maybe with a few more turnovers, because clearly he has a knack for the ball. So I really want to give Jeff Heath a full chance. I know some people are like, well, let's see. Yeah, we'll give him a chance, but then we want Xavier Woods in there. I mean, and Kayvon Frazier. And I love both of those guys. I want to see them get plenty of opportunity, and they will. I think that all these safeties are going to rotate, and they're going to get an opportunity. But I really do think Jeff Heath could be good in that strong safety role. So we'll see. Nolan Carroll came over from Philadelphia last year. His floor is that he gets suspended, can never kind of catch on, and he gets relegated to sort of backup duties. That would not be great necessarily because of his price tag, but at the same time, they paid that for insurance, and I'm some people may not be thrilled about that. Joey, I hear your issues with it, and I understand that the money is a lot of money to be paying for an insurance policy, but for me, it's worth the price. I mean, I don't know, like, you're getting a lot of value out of your rookies, so I just think that, you know, it's worth it to me to pay that money to just the peace of mind. His ceiling is, you know, likely to be a very good starting cornerback. I don't think he's a Pro Bowler necessarily, but I think he could be a very good starting quarterback. So Orlando Scandrick, you know, if he's really, I think last year his kind of his floor, I think he, you know, he could probably go a step back from that if it's really just starting to roll downhill on him. But I tend to think that he spent a whole offseason away from that injury that he came off of last year, and I think that's helped. I think he's worked hard, and even though he's older, I still think he's got a little bit left. So I tend to think his floor is, like I said, a step back from where he was last year because maybe age really did catch up with him. But his ceiling, I think, is closer to what he was 2 years ago. And then, you know, maybe with a little bit of slight improvement, I really do think that he could bounce back nicely this year. Jordan Lewis, I think, you know, you look at these rookie guys are really going to be tough for us to call. I don't think any of these guys, you know, Marquez White, because he's a sixth rounder, could get cut, I guess. But I don't know that any of these guys are going to get cut. So really, I think the floor for these guys is special teams player or bench. But for Jordan Lewis, I think his ceiling is that he could take that, you know, he might be able to take that nickelback job from Orlando Scandrick, or at least make them think about putting him in there more. His ceiling may even be starting on the outside. I mean, we just don't really know yet. We haven't seen these guys play yet. So, but I think that his ultimate ceiling could be really, really high. I mean, he's really, really a good player. And it'll be interesting to see exactly where he ends up position-wise on this team. Chidobe Awuzie, you know, whether he plays corner or safety or whatever, his floor is probably valuable rotational defensive back. His ceiling to me is Byron Jones type starter who can do a couple different things, maybe line up at safety, maybe line up at cornerback. He could really end up being a very valuable piece. I like him on the outside, but I love that he can show them a lot of different stuff. He's a good blitzer. He could really be a special find for this team. Robert Blanton, his floor to me is that he could get cut. I mean, he's not one of these rookies, they signed him as an undrafted kind of insurance policy, but they drafted a safety, and then they also drafted a guy who could easily play a bunch of snaps at safety, so I wouldn't be surprised if Robert Blanton wasn't long for the team. His ceiling is that he could end up being the starter. I mean, if none of these guys really pan out and Kayvon Frazier can't play and Jeff Heath's no good, Robert Blanton, I guess, could be your starter until you hear otherwise. Xavier Woods. You know, we didn't hear a lot about him in OTAs and in mini camps, but I think we will start hearing more and more about him in training camp. I think his floor is, like I said, special teamer, down roster bench guy. His ceiling is that he could be, I think, your starting free safety when you start bringing in those three safety packages. I think he would really be great as that deep center fielder because he can roam. He's instinctual. He's got incredible agility to go from sideline to sideline. I think he is a ball hawk. I think he gets around the ball a lot. It gravitates to him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up playing a lot. Like I said, I think whoever these safeties are that are on this team, I think a lot of them are going to play. And then finally, the last rookie of the four, Marquez White, Florida State defensive back. We've heard some good things about them. He's a little bit better athlete than I think the Cowboys thought they were getting from this guy. He's a former basketball player, was actually a pretty good basketball player at Florida State. And again, he played at Florida State. He's a starter at Florida State, captain, wasn't some, like, nobody. You know, I mean, he didn't test exceptionally well, so he did fall down the draft boards a little bit. But that doesn't mean that, he's necessarily isn't a good player. Because especially if you look at how deep this class was, I mean, that's not something to be ashamed of. So I think Marquez White's floor is, you know, he's on the team, special teamer, but his ceiling could be that he pushes to be one of the guys in the rotation on the outside. I think he's one of the rare guys, the rookie class, who has a really good body and skill set to play on the outside and maybe play some of these bigger wide receivers. So I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see him get some snaps, and at the very least, like I said, his floor is that he doesn't get defensive snaps and he's mostly just playing special teams. Or maybe inactive. I mean, it's possible that they just hold on to him, and you know he could get cut. I just don't think that it's going to happen. Leon McFadden, he took some snaps to the Cowboys last year, and he was not terrible. I mean, he's serviceable. I think. I think his floor is that he gets cut just because there's a lot of talent here, and his ceiling is that he pushes one of these other guys, for a backup spot. I just don't see him pushing for a starting spot unless he's really, really made some strides. Jameel Showers, I don't know what they're going to do with this guy, man. I mean, I hate him. I don't hate him at safety. I've never seen him play safety, but I love him as a quarterback. So I'm kind of going to skip Jameel Showers because I've never seen the guy play safety before. I've only seen him play quarterback, and I think he should be playing quarterback because I think he's a better quarterback than some of these guys that they have on this team, frankly. Kayvon Frazier. Now, Kayvon Frazier is the guy who could be the breakout strong safety candidate. I really love his tape last year. He's physical. We saw him make a couple different plays in defense last year and then some special team stuff too. So I kind of really would love to see Kayvon Frazier push Blanton off this team. I think his floor is that he could get cut. I mean, his second year, I mean, if it's just too crowded, I think it's possible. But I think his ceiling is that he could easily be the starter at strong safety. And then last but not least, Sammy Seamster. It was a guy we signed off of I'm pretty sure he was a futures guy. Hold on, I'm trying to check that right now, which is, again, I should have checked that. But no, he actually was originally an undrafted guy for Baltimore, and he got released, and the Cowboys actually put him on their practice squad in 2016. And so, you know, he's kind of been in and out of the team for the last 2 years, doing, you know, cut here, signed here. You know, they have him, he signed a 2-year deal, this off season, you know, basically no guaranteed money. So, you know, he's a small school guy who is bigger, corner 6'1", 200 pounds. I think his floor is, again, being cut probably because he's not guaranteed anything. And his ceiling is that he becomes that last down roster corner who is a special teams guy. So I don't know that that's realistic, but I think that is likely to be. I think his floor is closer than his ceiling in terms of reality. So, well, guys, we did everybody except for LP Latasaur and Dan Bailey and Chris Jones, who, you know, I think all of their floors are they're making the team and they have bad years, and all their ceilings are, you know, I think each one of them has the ability to be an all-pro. I think Chris Jones could be that good this year if he's developed and can get a little bit more consistency. He's got that kind of leg. And I think LP doesn't miss. And Dan Bailey had a bad year last year, so let's call his last season his floor. And I think, you know, everything else in his career is the ceiling. So, guys, we did basically the whole roster. I mean, really the whole roster that of note at this point. So make sure that you're checking out FanRag Sports throughout the week for updates on training camp or, you know, signings. Hopefully no bad news, because that's usually what you hear about as far as football in this time of year. And then make sure you follow me on Twitter, @McCoolBTB, and I will be tweeting about all kinds of Cowboys things and football things constantly, so even during the break. So if you're trying to take a break during the summer and not talk football, then maybe don't follow me. But then again, why are you listening to this podcast? It doesn't make sense. Guys, thank you so much. I will definitely talk to you next week. And we're going to be talking about some we're going to be getting closer and closer to some football as these long, hot summer weeks pour on. So until next week, happy trails.